Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode hier bei Conscious Gangster, dein Podcast für ein leichtes und glückliches Leben. Das ist Teil 2 mit dem wundervollen Swami Purna Chaitanya. Er ist Mönch und wie er dahin gekommen ist, das erfahrt ihr in dieser Episode.
Ja, yeah, in the new book you have, actually this is a page I have open in front of myself right now, which fits perfect right now, because you were writing one sentence. I will read it in German. Beim Meditieren geht es nicht um die Erfahrung, sondern um den Erfahrenden. Did you understand that sentence?
Yes.
So
yes,
it's really important that it's about you in person and that you don't compare yourself, and it's not about your experience, it's about you. So, and I think that is really beautiful. That also brings it up in a shorter way. So we don't need to talk too much to other people. So, like, I mean, it's interesting to know how for other people, how they feel meditation, what it does to them. But it's way more important how it is for us. And I really like that sentence because we, in our world, we are all about comparing. And we think we need to go there, but you want to reach something already. And if as soon as you want to reach something, it's not about the meditation anymore. It's about a goal you want to go to and about the result. And in our world, we are way too much driven to achieve anything, to have results. And then we don't focus on the present moment or on the process itself, but we focus on to get something. And then you never can meditate because you are never in the state of mind of now. And that is why I really love that sentence.
Yes. not just that you cannot meditate, you cannot be truly happy also.
Yeah, because you cannot focus on your happiness right now, because you think, what is if I lose my happiness and if I'm not happy? Yeah. And then you're still in the future again. So
it's very true.
Already in the future.
Just being is really a skill.
And I think that is the beauty of finding peace and resting and finding the anchor. And so
that is peace, actually. Peace is being. It is not doing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people ask me, okay, how do you define stress?
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the easiest ways to define stress is that somewhere inside there is a feeling that right now, whatever is right now or however I am right now, is not okay.
Yeah.
That is stress. And when right now is okay, that is peace.
That's beautiful. Yeah, so you talked about meditation. I wanted to ask you this question anyways. But now I'm curious about the other thing you mentioned, breath work and pranayama, because I didn't really do the Panchakarma cure, but I went to Ayurvedic Schlösschen and you can do a detox cure. And I didn't do the whole thing. I just went there for 3 days and experienced it a bit. But there I talked to a pranayama guru and he inspired me a lot as well, because he talked about that in our modern world we use to find new breathing techniques all the time, like also breath work, but psychedelic breath and all those things, where he said that the most healthy way is just to breathe without changing anything, just observe, not wanting anything, observe your breath. And he also said that if you do too much of those sugar rushes, like psychedelic breath, where you release the specific hormones in your body, you can get addicted to it, like sugar, because it the same result as you take drugs. So I'm really curious about your perspective on, because you said breath work and pranayamas in general, because I think the traditional one is really nice, but what do you think about all the new techniques?
I think that's a very nice question, very good question. And it's good actually to specify that, yes, when I spoke about the pranayama or the breath work, I talk about the practices that are part of the tradition of yoga. You know, these are techniques that have been tried and tested and perfected over not just hundreds, but thousands of years. This is something where people have seen that it not only works, but they've also seen that it works for everybody, you know, and it's safe and it has specific effects and it can be used for certain specific things. which is given in these ancient scriptures also. So it's a very holistic system, you know, because yoga, it's totally interconnected with Ayurveda, you know, the Vedic science of well-being. So where the Panchakarma and everything comes from. So all of these things are connected. It's holistic in its approach. Nowadays, what you see is that many people are very inspired, sometimes very creative. You know, it doesn't have that same knowledge or backbone. Yoga came from a tradition where there were sages and saints, yogis who meditated for decades, who practiced yoga for decades, who were so in tune with their body that when they would do something, they can feel that, okay, what is happening internally. And now you see many people, they just do, you know, even with yoga, people do maybe some yoga teacher training of 200 hours in Rishikesh or somewhere, and it may not even be a quality one.
Yeah.
Then they call themselves yoga teacher, then they discover their own style of yoga and they start mixing all kinds of things. And it becomes a hodgepodge, you know. I've seen people coming up and, you know, on social media we see so many things where people talk about chakras or manifesting things or mantras. And they just take a little bit from here and there. Oh, this is a nice name. This is a nice term. This is a nice color. Put it all together and then package it. And I have my own set of meditations now or my own set of mantras. And it doesn't work, you know, because these are people who do not have an understanding of how consciousness really works.
Mm-hmm.
So people, they talk about chakras. They have no idea what chakras really are. They have not experienced. They have just read a book somewhere. They thought, oh, this sounds nice. And then they have some concept in their head without actually understanding, okay, what is prana? What is life force? What is a chakra? Mm. A chakra doesn't have so many petals. It's not a flower. This is all symbolism, you know. So what does it mean? People don't know what mantras are. They invent their own mantras. It's an entire science of how this entire creation is made up of vibration, of energy, of sound. And then if you really know how these vibrations are connected, you can start saying, okay, what is the mathematics of sound? That is the real science of mantra. But that's a very vast science. It takes many years and a lot of practice to really learn and experience. It's a beautiful question, and I totally agree with what you said, that even though it's a very potent and very beneficial thing, breathwork, personally, I would, from my own experience also and the thousands of people I have been teaching and guiding, I would recommend people to stick more to the traditional ways of breathing. That doesn't mean that modern discoveries cannot be very useful and beneficial. Most of the ones that are really beneficial are actually based on the traditional ones, because I see a lot of those. But especially the ones, like you said, where, you know, it tries to induce a quick kick or a quick fix or a very intense emotional experience, all these things. You know, this is people looking for a quick fix solutions. Just like people want to take a pill and become fit, you know, or lose a lot of weight in just 2 weeks. Or, you know, the nature works at its own pace. So if you want to lose your weight sustainably or you want to build muscle sustainably, it has its own timeline. You know, it may be for some people 2 months, it for some people maybe 6 months, but there is a gradual way how the body has to change. And the same is with our mind, the same is with our energy. So as long as we do it in a way that it is in tune with nature, then you will have a lasting result and you will not have any danger of a negative side effect. The moment we think that we are smarter than nature, that is where it becomes risky.
Yeah. Is there any tip you can give us to how we can strengthen our connection to nature and the environment to develop a broader sense of consciousness? So we don't just follow all the new cool things, but we ask ourselves, is this really good for me? Like, yeah, to have this inner voice and this inner connection and consciousness.
I think that intention itself will already do half the work. You know, when someone really feels that I would like to learn more about myself and what is good for me, and, you know, being more open to listen. I think more than really doing something, it's a process of trying to do less. Because, for example, if we eat our meal in a hurry, you know, you eat your food quickly when you're watching the TV or you're talking to your friends, you're not really tasting the food fully. you're not really aware also of how it feels in the body. While if someone, and this may sound very boring to some people, but if you say, okay, you're going to eat your food maybe one meal a day, you know, start easy, that you take one meal in the day, where it could be breakfast, lunch or dinner, where you say, okay, that meal I'm not going to talk to people or check my phone or watch TV or anything. Mm-hmm. When I'm eating the food, I'm just going to have all my attention on the food, you know. And it's, I mean, how much time do you eat? Maybe 10-15 minutes, or you know, it's not like you're spending hours, but where you're really, you're looking at the food, you're really tasting it, seeing, okay, how does it taste, how does the texture feel, and then you chew it properly and you take it, you eat it, you swallow it, and then for maybe 5-10 minutes afterwards, just see how it feels. Maybe be a little bit more aware the next 1 or 2 hours in between, just see, okay, how does the body feel. Because I have seen so many times with my programs that the moment people start practicing some breathing techniques, some meditation, they become a little bit more aware of what is happening in their mind, in their body. Many of them, without me having to tell them, start making more conscious decisions. Where they say, oh, you know, and they come and tell me, you know, I suddenly realized that I prefer to eat more, you know, more fresh things now, because the other food, you know, I feel very heavy after. And it's not that earlier they would not feel heavy, it's just that they're not aware of it. You know? So the moment you eat something that doesn't feel nice in the body, if you're aware, if you're listening, then the body is telling you, oh, this is what I like, this is good for me. If I eat this, I have a lot of energy. If I eat this, I feel very dull afterwards. And the same is with your sleeping routines. The same is when you are in nature. The same you will notice is when you are with people. Some people you will notice that, oh, when I spend some time with this person, I feel very elevated. And if I spend too much time with this type of people, I may feel very dull. I'm more complaining, or I feel more tired. And it doesn't mean you have to avoid all those people, or that you have to be scared that, oh, you know, I'm going to lose my energy. But it can teach you a lot about, okay, what is life supporting and what is not. And mm-hmm. then the moment you become a little bit more quiet inside, you're listening more and talking less, then you will see that you will feel more connected with the nature, because already from the world around you, that connection is there. It's like the nature is talking to you, the people is talking to you, your body is talking to you, your mind is talking to you. It's just that because we don't have the space to listen, that we don't hear it. And then when we don't hear it, we feel disconnected. And then you see that some people, they may have such a wonderful life, but they feel so lonely.
Wenn du gerade zuhörst und du denkst, du bräuchtest mal wieder Zeit für dich zum Retreaten, Zeit überhaupt für dich, um etwas in dich reinzuhören, um die Verbindung zu dir selbst zu finden, dann lade ich dich ganz herzlich ein, zusammen mit mir zu retreaten. Und zwar im Hotel Schwarzschmied. Das ist ein wunderschönes Wellnesshotel. Ich hatte bereits die Ehre, dort Gast zu sein, und es ist in der Provinz Bozen in Südtirol, Italien. Wir werden dort 4 schöne Tage miteinander verbringen, morgens und abends Yoga-Praxen haben. Es geht um Achtsamkeit, um Embodiment, und das Ganze in einer wunderschönen Umgebung mit köstlichen, gesunden Mahlzeiten, die deine Sinne nähren und deinen Körper auf jeden Fall stärken und mit Energie versorgen, ebenso wie das Yoga. Und du brauchst ja auch gar keine Gedanken machen. Alle Levels sind willkommen, also Erfahrung, Nicht-Erfahrung. Schreib mir gerne, wenn du Fragen hast, dann kann ich die auch gerne beantworten. Und unten findest du nochmal alle weiteren Infos.
This is a big thing in our society right now. We live in Berlin, so many people around us. We see so many people each day, but we feel lonely. But also, we live in our house, we have walls, we have everything. Like, yeah, back then we were living in more in communities, and we had more time for ourselves. Or let's say we did less. I really like that. We just did less of everything, and then you have time and space to listen. That is the point. I was just talking about the same thing yesterday, and I really like that, to focus on less. You talked about the 5 pillars, about what impacts our state of mind, and I'm curious about the company, because you mentioned that. How does this look for you? What is your company
for,
like?
For me?
Yeah, for you personally.
Yeah, so I'm not very selective when it comes to people, because one, most of the time I'm seeing, okay, what can I contribute? Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to a place, I may be conducting a program or, you know, having a meeting or, you know, doing all kinds of things. So there I'm not selective saying I want to only meet this kind of people or only teach that type of people. The beauty, what I have noticed over the years, is that the more we become so anchored inside, the more our mind becomes more stable and more peaceful, then instead of those five factors influencing you a lot, it becomes much and much less. So there are still the five factors that influence you, but for example, I noticed that many years ago, 10, 15 years ago, when I would go to a slum area, for example, you know, like in India or in Africa or someplace, you know, usually the slums are not very nice places. People are very poor, they have very little, there's no hygiene, there may be a lot of crime, a lot of disease, other problems sometimes. If I spend a few hours there interacting with people or doing some program or some project, afterwards I would feel really tired. You know, physically and mentally, I will feel drained. It's like, oh, I really need to recharge. The same is if I would go to a prison. You know, we do programs in the prisons also sometimes for the prisoners. It's a very heavy energy. So spending a few hours in the prison and interacting with those people and coming out, I would feel really tired. But then I noticed over the years that the more my practice became stronger and my battery became bigger, it doesn't affect me like that. It becomes less and less and less. So the more you start seeing that it's not so much the company or the surroundings that influence you, instead you start influencing or impacting the surroundings. But yes, when it comes to, like I said, also the books I read, the movies I watch or the music I listen to, it's a combination of two things. One is, like I said, the more you start listening, your body and mind will tell you what is, you know, life supporting and what is not. So for example, I don't watch a lot of movies nowadays. I don't have time also, and I don't make time for it. But say if I'm in the flight and there are some movies, you know, the newest ones. So I would like to watch, you know, okay, I have a long flight, you're not just going to meditate all flight or... I would always used to enjoy that, okay, I'll see one or two of those things. But nowadays, many times it's a bit disappointing because many things don't look interesting to me anymore. And even if something does and I try, many times after 10, 15 minutes, I am bored. It's like, oh, you know what, this is... So then I may have a nice book or I listen to some music or something. But it's interesting, I think it's good for people to know, because many times we don't realize that these things have an impact. Because like if you spend time with people who all the time talk about investing money, for example, you will notice that even if you were never thinking about those things before, your mind will start thinking, oh, I should earn more money, or I should invest it, or where should I invest it? The same if you have people who all the time talk about fashion, you will start thinking about fashion. You will get those kind of thoughts and desires. If you have people who all the time talk about sex, your mind will start thinking about sex all the time. Oh, I want to have sex or this or that. So any topic, whether it's money, whether it is food. So this is the nature of the mind. But if you know it, the same is with music. If all the time you're listening to music that is about, you know, becoming rich and famous, you will start wanting to become rich and famous. No? If you keep watching Netflix series about horror or crime or that kind of thoughts will start coming in your mind sometimes, you know? So again, not to be paranoid, it's just one of the factors. But yes, if you're a wise person, then at some point, just like with your food, you will say, okay, you know, it's not that you never can have junk food, but it's a difference if you say, okay, 6 days in the week, I have healthy food. And then one day I can have a cheat day. I can have those other things which I like. So that it's in moderation, you know, that is how you can start. The same way you say, okay, I make sure that the music I listen to is not so restless and feverishness and makes me want to desire so many things most of the time. And once in a while, if you want to listen to, who knows, you know, Eminem or Snoop Dogg or Linkin Park or whatever, you do your thing. But if it's only all the time that, your mind will start thinking in a certain way. You're conditioning your consciousness.
Thank you so much. The thing is, the longer you talk, the more questions I have.
Yeah, that's because it's all so interesting.
Yeah, but I want to ask some short ones and two more, like maybe a little bit more heavy, but then some really easy to digest to finish this up. What challenges you the most?
Personally, for me, one of the biggest challenges is that I don't have enough time in a day. That is, we can't do anything about it, but you know, there is so much to do. People who also reach out to me, who really, you know, they're maybe not in a happy place, or they have some challenges, some difficulties, and they want some guidance, or they're looking for some, you know, some support or some wisdom or insights. But I only have so much time in a day. I have to do my emails, I have the projects that I'm involved with, I have to do my programs. So at the end of the day, at some point, I have to tell myself that, okay, for today, this is enough. You know, that I have to take responsibility for that also, because otherwise, if I don't do that, I can work all night for a few days and then I will get a burnout.
Yeah.
So that's not always easy, you know, when you really know that people are struggling. So for me personally, that is one challenge, that, okay, how to find that balance. And then that ability to let go, sleep peacefully, and again, start again the next day. Not personally, but in general, one challenge I also feel is that so many times I see people or when they reach out to me, or just, you know, you talk to people or you hear about people, and I see that so many people are really suffering a lot unnecessarily. You know? Like some things we cannot avoid. You know, sometimes if you say in Ukraine now there is a big war going on, people are suffering, you know, that is something that you cannot say, oh, it's just because of your mind, or... You know, that's a real problem for people. But so many times people are really struggling, or they're sad, or they feel lonely or depressed or anxious or upset for things which are really not worth it. And it's simply because we have not learned how the mind works, how the consciousness works, how to manage it. I feel for people, you know. It's like you don't want people to be sad or miserable. And so much of that misery can quite easily be avoided if they only have these tools and techniques and this understanding.
I like that, yeah. So, I feel that a lot. Thank you so much for sharing.
So we do our best to, like you also know, we do our best to share with as many people as possible. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes when you see that many more really need it, it can be a little bit challenging.
Especially to not take all the sadness from other people to yourself, to absorb everything. All the emotions. Do you have any fear in your life?
I'm not sure. I don't really experience that.
That's nice.
Much.
Yeah, that's really nice.
I think, you know, earlier it used to be sometimes, but I think the moment you come to a point where, you know, like I said, I already feel very happy and content. So I'm doing my best to make the world a little more beautiful, help people. So for me, it's like, okay, I'm putting my efforts, but at the same time, if tomorrow is my last day, then I can go very happily, knowing that I have done what I could. Yeah, I don't feel that, oh, there's still this I really wanted to do or say or, yeah.
That's nice. I really like to ask this question, a lot of my friends as well, and most of them say, like, I don't want to die. And that's really interesting for me, because I never had that in my mind, but yeah, I definitely have fears, like losing persons in my life. But I really like that question. That's why I wanted to ask you.
Who really has experienced meditation,
They
will no longer be afraid of death.
Yeah.
Because in many ways, it's a very similar experience.
Yeah.
So if you're able to drop all your identities and everything, and then when you realize that you are still there is still something of you which is different from the body, from the mind, which is eternal, then... Death is also just one more chapter in a whole story. You know, it's not the end.
That's the beauty of it. I don't have fear for to die either, because I think of this as well, like you do. Like there's another. Like there's way more than our lives here right now.
There's it becomes even more interesting.
Yes, it becomes even more interesting. Yeah, and maybe even better. We don't know, but it's really interesting, this question to me. So now some more easy last questions. Do you have a favorite song? It can be no, if you don't have one. Or a favorite mantra?
I have a few
when
it comes to mantras. Songs, you know, sometimes you hear a nice song, but mantras, I have a few favorite ones.
Let's say
one easy
mantra.
One. Mm-hmm. One easy one is, I mean, there's a few. One is the Gayatri Mantra. But this is something that actually, if you do it properly, you need to be initiated and, you know, chant it in a certain way. Another one, which is really one of my favorite, and it's quite well known, but it's a very powerful mantra also. And that is the mantra Om Namah Shivaya.
Oh, yeah.
I do it every day. It's very, very powerful. You do it in the proper way.
That's the first one I learned.
And it's very useful. And this is a mantra that anybody can chant and it will give you good results. You know, because mantras, there are many types of mantras. So most of the mantras, they have what is called a kilaka. Kilaka means it has a lock on it. So unless you know how to open it, the mantra will not work, even if you chant it. But there are some mantras which are called prasiddha mantras, which means they work for everybody. They don't have a lock. And one of them is Om Namah Shivaya. It's one of the most powerful mantras that anybody can chant and it will have good results.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, do you have a favorite place or a place you would recommend to our listeners to go to if they want to be inspired?
Oh, I have many beautiful places.
Maybe more like a spiritual
place. So one place that is very dear to me is Rishikesh. In India.
Yeah.
It's becoming more commercial, but still it's a very beautiful energy. There is a place just outside Rishikesh called the Vasishtha's Cave. It's next to the Ganga. And this is a cave where they say the Rishi, the sage Vasishtha, meditated thousands of years ago. It's a very nice cave. You can go and meditate still. There is some Swamiji who's taking care of that place. Another place which is very dear to me is Gangtok. In Sikkim. It is in India, but it's right near the China and Bhutan border. But you have these old Tibetan monasteries there. Very beautiful place also. One last one I'll add is Bangalore, because that is where my little room is also. We have our Art of Living International headquarters. It's a huge ashram. Very beautiful place. We have a Veda school where the boys are being trained as Veda pandits. They learn to chant all the mantras. They do the rituals. We have an Ayurveda hospital, beautiful organic farms with herbs and other things. And thousands of people come there to meditate, to learn more about yoga and all. So that is also a magical place.
Oh, nice. I want to go there now. Maybe it's on
my list.
Yeah,
you should come.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Let me know. Whenever you go, just send me a message. I'll hook you up with the right people.
Oh, yes, please. I would love that. Another question. Do you have a favorite meal?
That also changes a bit from time to time.
And one last question. What inspires you?
I mean, there are different things. But one of the main things I would say is definitely my master, my teacher, Gurudev Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, because, you know, now he's almost, he's going towards 70, you know, age-wise. And still he's traveling tirelessly around the world, you know, so many 40, 50 countries every year. Sharing his knowledge, his teachings with people, helping people. And he's literally working from early morning to late night, every single day, just helping people, being available. No, he doesn't need anything for himself. So to see that kind of commitment, unconditional love, that kind of energy level, and that kind of health and enthusiasm, because I've never seen him stressed or upset or angry or, you know, that is something that is truly inspiring. You know, it's, for me, it is someone who has really mastered these techniques, this knowledge, these values, and who is really able to live it fully. So that's something to aspire to, definitely.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Okay, now the really, really last question. When will you be in Berlin again?
So let's plan soon.
Okay, perfect. Because then we can meet again. Perfect.
Yes, we should.
Nice. Okay. Thank you so much, Swami Purna Chaitanya.
It was my pleasure.
I loved to talk to you and to have you here. It was so inspiring.
I hope it was okay for people. My German is not so good.
I only speak
ein bisschen Deutsch, but I hope for them it is okay.
It's not about the English, it's about the wise words you were saying. So, and I think your English is amazing. And I sometimes think that we
yoga makes us flexible, right?
Yeah. That's so true. Because
also in life.
We tend to judge things like that. And if people aren't perfect in one language, we tend to judge that, and now I don't want, oh my God, how is she talking?
Or shy away.
Yeah, but it's not about this. It's way more about things we are talking about. So that was really inspiring to me. Thank you so, so, so much. I will link everything down in the info box, your book and everything like we talked about.
Yes. Yeah, if people want to know more, maybe you can mention my website. They can always check it out. And for people also, please don't feel shy. If they want to send me a message through the website or through my Instagram or something, you know, it sometimes takes a few days to reply. But they're more than welcome to ask something. And thank you so much for this wonderful conversation. I'm also looking forward to share it with people.
Thank you so, so much. I hope you have a beautiful day.
You too, Annelina.
Thank you.